You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Welcome in on a Thursday, May 15th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to be with you once again on a partially overcast afternoon at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. Zommers, a little cloudy here, 84 degrees in Madtown right now, but some watches right now and maybe some heavy weather coming in for much of the state this afternoon and into this evening.
So I've heard, yes, but pretty toasty in the meantime.
Yes, toasty here in Madison. I want to start with the weather because there are a number of watches out for many of our Northwestern listeners right now in the state of Wisconsin. There is a tornado watch in effect. And again, a watch means the conditions are favorable, but of course, none have been spotted either in person or by radar at this point, but a tornado watch in effect until 8 p.m. for a number of counties. Basically, it includes La Crosse, the city of La Crosse, La Crosse County, and then right to the east of that, Monroe County, then goes straight north through Neillsville, Black River Falls, Medford, all the way to Park Falls, and then from Park Falls, go back westward to Hayward. It includes Hayward, Spooner, Rice Lake, of course, Eau Claire as well, over to Amory. So pretty much the entire northwestern quadrant of the state of Wisconsin under a tornado watch until 8 p.m. There is a line of some strong thunderstorms entering into Wisconsin right now from Minnesota going across the Mississippi River at this hour. The storms are moving in a line that goes from La Crosse all the way up to north of the Twin Cities and is going in a direction of northeast right now. And it's going to affect, Eau Claire very shortly right now, Menominee area. La Crosse looks like, according to radar, just some light showers. And over to Amory, you're going to get wet soon if you're not already. These don't appear to be super heavy or severe thunderstorms at this point. Just your garden variety rain and thunderstorms. But the key is conditions are right that they could turn severe. And if we see any warnings during this broadcast, we will let you know. This is kind of the first round. And right now, as we look at the radar, just to the time literally we've been on the air, a larger thunderstorm has developed in southwest Wisconsin between Platteville and Dodgeville, heading kind of towards the Dane County and Madison area. So the key is here, as these warm temperatures have the sun kind of comes out and the clouds break, all that does is give these storms fuel, and that's what creates these kind of, they call them cell storms, large cell storms that pop up here, and those could spawn heavier storms. We'll keep you abreast of this show. Wherever you get your weather from, you want to keep an eye to the sky and be prepared, as the entire state basically could be affected by what we get into tomorrow, and then it's going to cool down for the weekend. So there you go. Speaking of weather, a big show today, by the way. In hour number two, our What's Worse, candy edition, M&M's or Reese's Pieces. we'll discuss that, but a lot more serious news to get to. In the meantime, great story from Channel 12 WISN in Milwaukee, the ABC affiliate there, on the Trump administration ending temporary protections for Afghan refugees. We'll explain why these people are truly American heroes, at least in my opinion, and now why the Trump administration is revoking and really putting their lives at danger, and it affects 120 people right here in the state of Wisconsin. So we will discuss that. We have a quiz question for you. We're going to talk trade as well, and yes, a little bit more on David Hogg and the chaos in the Democratic National Party. All that ahead, but I want to start, speaking of weather, this from The Hill. NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, seeks to reassign employees to fill critically understaffed weather service offices. I think it's important on a day like today that we pause and reflect, because as these storms are passing through Wisconsin today, and the people who put up these watches and warnings and follow this and let us know what's going on so we can be prepared, those offices have been cut and depleted by the Trump administration. According to The Hill, the Trump administration is seeking to reassign other employees to, quote, critically understaffed, unquote, offices in the National Weather Service, according to an internal document. The move to reassign these other employees comes after the administration fired hundreds of people at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, including some staff at the National Weather Service. The service is now looking to staff 76 positions, including meteorologists in disaster-prone areas such as Houston and Miami, according to the document, which was reviewed by Science Committee Democratic staff. In particular, it's looking for staffers from other parts of NOAA to fill the holes in the weather service. The quote says, this reassignment opportunity notice will non-competitively fill vacancies and critically understaff and operational locations across the National Weather Service, unquote. So basically what has happened here is, after the made-up agency of Elon Musk and Doge came through and fired a bunch of people, they said, oh, wait a minute, tornado season's upon us now, and we got, we're going to be on the cusp here of hurricane season in a couple of months. Gee, boy, we don't have anybody left to actually do these jobs, and millions of people are going to be at risk if we don't staff these positions. Back to the story. According to The Hill, NOAA spokesperson Monica Allen declined comment, saying that the department does not discuss internal personnel and management matters. Democrats criticized the memo as potentially damaging to other parts of the agency. Quote, it's basically asking for people to repopulate the Weather Service posts that have been destroyed by the cannibalization of other parts of NOAA, which will further damage our capacity to respond to disaster, unquote. That from Representative Zoe Lofgren, Democrat of California, the top Democrat on the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. A previously leaked budget document indicates that the Trump administration is eyeing significant cuts to NOAA, which, in addition to the National Weather Service, includes oceanic and climate research programs and fishery management. The document calls for a 27% cut overall to the agency and the elimination of its oceanic and atmospheric research office. That, according to The Hill publication today. Something to think about as we go through the day, and hopefully there is no significant damage across Wisconsin, but when we see these watches and warnings pop up today, it has taken a long time for the science and the staff and the training to be at the point where we can give people the earliest warnings so that they can be prepared. It literally saved tens of thousands of lives when people are prepared. And again, I think it's something that, whether you're Republican, Democrat, independent, whatever your persuasion might be, these are the things that we as Wisconsinites and Americans should be unified about. And I wish that all of our representatives that represent Wisconsin in Congress could look at this and just say, wow, why would we cut things that are helping save the lives of our own constituents?
Yeah, I just hope that the chaos caused by Doge and firing all these people in important services like this, I hope that it highlights to representatives and citizens how important that these things actually are.
Yeah, absolutely. Last night, had the pleasure and honor of going to this great event here in Madison put on by Journey Mental Health Center. And boy, I learned a lot about them last night. And I knew about them, but I never really dug down into what they actually do in the community. John Licka, who I had an opportunity to talk with, and we're going to try to have him on the show to talk more about this. What Journey Mental Health Center does in providing mental health resources for people in the community, and particularly people who may be on Medicare or Medicaid or have no insurance at all. And yet through donations and fundraising, they are able to offer certain mental health services to the community at large. And Monte Ball, former Wisconsin Badger star in the football program and also spent time in the NFL as a great running back, was there with our old friend Kristen Bry from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and her social platforms, As Goes Wisconsin. And she was moderating this, and they had a little over an hour-long conversation. And Monte is going to be on this program in the near future. He was going to be on yesterday, but his plane got in late, situation beyond his control, and he was so kind about it. I said, look, you can't control that. But Monte is going to be on the program here shortly, or in the, hopefully next few days. And I want you to hear it from him. So I don't want to say too much of this story other than it was just remarkable to hear someone be so open and transparent about their life to a room full of 100 people and talk about his journey and where it kind of went wrong and ended up falling into alcoholism and addiction and the repercussions that had. And then to be at a point one day to look up and see the team that you have been drafted by, the Denver Broncos, playing in the Super Bowl, and you're in recovery. And that could have been you. And then he found out shortly after some other breaking news in his life. And that was kind of the impetus for him to finally hit, I guess what you might say, rock bottom and seek out help. And now he has a foundation which they're setting up high schools, private high schools, to help young people, kids with addiction issues, to help them get legit high school diplomas, to help them with their addiction, and to set them up to help them in life after high school. And he's working with Journey Mental Health here in Madison. He is giving back, and it's just been remarkable, his story and all the good he is doing now that he's on his own journey and you know, deep in recovery and being sober. And I think it's a great reminder for all of us. It was for me, at least, to just they build it as a fireside chat. And of course, you know, there was no fire yesterday because
I was going to ask right, about that.
But that's it was so well done between Monte and Kristen because it was like you were just like they were having coffee together and you just had the opportunity to sit and listen to this very personal conversation. And it was remarkable. And Monte has just a powerful story to tell. I can't wait to have him come on here and tell it on this show. I'm really looking forward to it. But if you have an opportunity, last night was a fundraiser for Journey Mental Health. If you have the opportunity to give to them, I highly encourage you to do that. You can find them at journeymhc.org, journeymhc.org, Journey Mental Health here in Wisconsin. And when Monte comes on, we'll talk about his foundation and how you can hook up and help his foundation as well. Also, there's a couple of questions at the end on a lighter note about Wisconsin Badger football. I'll let Monte speak for himself when he comes on this show. Let's just say he's similar feelings as Brady Ewing. Concerned. I think concerned might be a good word. But maybe hopeful now that they have a new offensive coordinator. So anyway, well done last night, Monte and Kristen and all the folks at Journey Mental Health Center. They're part of what makes Wisconsin great. We're going to come back and talk about something that made Wisconsin great. Those are Afghan refugees and what Trump is doing to undo it. Stay tuned. You're listening to a Thursday edition. It's the Todd Allball Show. And you're listening to Cross Wisconsin to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock on Thursday, May 15th. Glad to have you along. Zommers on the board on this overcast day, looking at weather radar again. A tornado watch in effect for kind of the northwest quadrant of Wisconsin until 8 p.m. tonight. There is a strong line of storms going across Wisconsin right now. Some of these storms have just popped up in southwest Wisconsin, all the way from Dubuque, Iowa, up into the Platteville, Dodgeville area. For our listeners in Richland Center on WRCE, just south of there, along the Wisconsin River, none of them have been deemed severe yet, but they are stronger storms. And then the line extends all the way up just to south and west of Eau Claire and Amory right now, getting hit with a strong but not severe thunderstorm, at least at this point, according to the National Weather Service. Again, that tornado watch for northwest Wisconsin in effect until 8 p.m. tonight. Keep an eye to the sky, and anything pops up severe over our broadcast, we will let you know. But could be some heavy weather coming through to parts of Wisconsin today. Want to get to this story, and I'm going to see if we can do this in real time, Zommers, because I was going to have this up on my screen, and then I totally forgot. Maybe while I'm doing the story, you can help me out here and look it up. There was a show on CBS, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago now, and it centered around an American soldier, Marine, I think, who had served in Afghanistan, and then he had his Afghan interpreter, ended up he helped that guy come to the United States and save his life. And I think it was only on for 2 seasons. It didn't do super, super well in the ratings, but it was a really, really thoughtful program. It was funny, but it also had a point.
The United States of Al?
That's it. Very good. Thank you so very, very much. The United States of Al. I'm not sure if our friend Kelly Call greenlit that show or not, but it was really, really well done. And what I loved about it is it took a kind of a complex, serious thing and made it lighter. And what I'm talking about is during the Afghan War, after 9/11 and for several years after, obviously, you had American soldiers and Marines and airmen stationed in Afghanistan, and they befriended several Afghan folks who either already knew English or were taught English or helped improve their English. And these folks acted as interpreters for our American service people. And if you talk to people, the Americans who were there serving, they will tell you that these Afghan interpreters are American heroes, because they were able to suss out the danger, they knew the local terrain, and they were able to help the American service people make advances and friendships and defend the lives of Americans through their skills. Knowing all of the, I don't understand, in that part of the world, there are all kinds of dialects and different languages. It's very complex. And these Afghans who agreed to help the Americans literally put their lives on the line, because they knew that if Al-Qaeda found out that they were helping the Americans, not just they would be at risk, but their families. That Al-Qaeda would come in and hunt down their families and kill them. And there were cases where that happened. But they were willing to risk their lives for the freedom of their own country, Afghanistan, and to help the Americans who they trusted. So that's the backstory to this story now from Channel 12, WISN, ABC in Milwaukee. Headline, Trump administration ends temporary protections for Afghan refugees. Many of the refugees initially arrived at Fort McCoy in Wisconsin after the U.S. withdrawal in 2021. Dateline Milwaukee, the Trump administration has announced it will end temporary protection status for thousands of Afghan refugees who fled their country during the chaotic U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021, affecting an estimated 9,000 refugees nationwide, including 120 here in Wisconsin. Naeem Azed, a former press secretary to the Afghan president and now a professor at the University of Wisconsin, fled to the U.S. during the withdrawal and was resettled in Wisconsin. He says, yes, of course, When asked if he was surprised by the administration's decision, Assad said, quote, "They were all evacuated by the U.S. government. They were not illegal. They did not cross a border into the United States," unquote. The program, which granted temporary protective status to these refugees, is now ending. Many refugees initially arrived at military bases like Fort McCoy, which turned into a temporary city, providing English lessons and meeting basic needs. Another refugee expressed confusion at the time over concerns about the refugees. He said, "I don't know why they have concerns." While many refugees, like Azad, have green cards or special immigration visas and will not be affected by this decision for now, thousands of others remain in limbo. The temporary protected status previously extended under the Biden administration was set to expire this month. We made, as a country, a promise to these folks that if you help us, we'll be there for you. That we know you're putting your lives on the line, not just you, but your wife, because most of these folks were men, the interpreters, but your wife, your spouse, your kids, your parents. We know Al-Qaeda is going to come for them if they find out, but don't worry. We'll make sure that you can come to the U.S. legally and have a new life. And when we had the evacuation of Afghanistan, those were the folks we were really trying to get out. And there were some that didn't. And I fault the Biden administration for part of that. But they got the majority of them out. And Biden kept his word. The United States kept the word with temporary protective status. And now Trump wants to pull it, essentially sentencing them to death. Back after this, Pam Yonke of the Ag News is next. Having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along. Zommer's on the board. A little weather going through the state of Wisconsin, or is about to in some cases. Tornado watch in effect for northwest Wisconsin until 8 p.m. today. And I don't know what's going on here, Zommer's, but I think my radar on my computer got a little messed up, because what I had shown earlier was that stronger storms were popping up in southwest Wisconsin. I'm not sure if somehow that got moved to like the future prediction thing, but looking at an updated run of that, there is a very small, isolated rain shower storm. There appears to be one lightning strike just around the Platteville area in southwest Wisconsin, but those storms may, keyword may, get bigger as the afternoon goes on. So this line of rain and storms kind of goes from around the La Crosse area up to the Twin Cities, and all of that is moving to the north and northeast. And so places like Amory and Eau Claire will be affected. La Crosse, those places will be affected in the future, the next hour or so. But just be aware that some of these storms may be stronger. So I wanted to update that, make sure I was clear and accurate on what I was telling folks. So there you go.
Always good to be clear and accurate.
We try. The key word is pursuing truth. We pursue it. All right. I want to give you an update on the story, because I just find it fascinating. And again, I spend most of my time, I shouldn't say most, well, okay, maybe a lot of the time on this show, sussing out and explaining things about my former party, the Republican Party that I left in 2011, and going after them, and I think deservedly so, pretty hard sometimes. But I also think it's just balanced to point out when the other side is goofed up as well. And this whole story regarding the Democratic National Committee and David Hogg just gets more and more fascinating and more interesting. Now, I've been chairman of the Richland County Republican Party years and years ago. I was on the board, I think, at one time for the 3rd District and the 2nd District Congressional Party. And I participated in state party stuff as well. So I've been through a number of party elections. All right. That's kind of the main background on this. I came across this great Substack article by Michael Harriet. And I thought, well, okay, I better check and see, you know, is this person legit or what's going on? And it turns out he is. Michael Harriet is a columnist, and he covers the intersection of race, politics, and culture. His work has appeared at the Washington Post, The Atlantic, NBC, and Black Entertainment Television, amongst others. So he's a legit journalist, and he wrote this as a Substack. And the title of it is called David Hogg's White Tears Explained. And Michael Harriet happens to be a black man. I think it's important just from the context of where this story is written. And I'm not going to go through the entire story because, again, I've said this program, I'm not independent. I don't belong to any party. But right now, at this moment in history, I feel that the Democratic Party is the one who, by and large, consistently is upholding democracy and wants to see that continue in this country and is fighting Trumpism, which I think is not doing those things, in my opinion. So I think it's interesting to hear from a black American, Michael Harriet, in his Substack, looking at his own party, the Democrats. And Michael Harriet, the author on this, is at least a friend of Jim Clyburn, the very famous congressman, a Democrat, black Democrat who has done a lot for race relations in this country, for equality and striving towards that, and deserves all the credit in the world, in my opinion, Congressman Clyburn. And so the author here, Michael Harriet, is salty because he doesn't like the fact that David Hogg, again, a 25-year-old white guy from Florida who got himself elected one of the vice chairs of the Democratic National Committee, is now going around and saying that he believes that people like Jim Clyburn should be replaced or primaried in Democratic primaries because Clyburn and people like him are too old and or aren't voting progressively enough for David Hogg's taste. And David Hogg has his own independent super PAC, and he has said that he's going to wants to spend $20 million on taking out fellow Democrats and replacing them with younger, more progressive Democrats. That's the backstory on this. And so now the DNC is calling for a redo on the election that got David Hogg into his position. And this is the part that I find both sad and interesting as an outside observer. And so I'm going to read just a little bit of this story here because Michael Harriet, the author in his Substack column, says it better than I could. He says, I'm sorry, this has nothing to do with Run DMC. The Democratic National Committee, DNC, is the official organization of the Democratic Party, and vice chairs are essentially the leadership team. If the DNC chair is the CEO, then the vice chairs are the board members. And Hogg serves alongside Artie Blanco, a Latina, a 35-year-old Malcolm Kenyatta, the first openly black gay man elected to the Pennsylvania legislature. And then I'm going to step away from the article and just summarize the next couple of paragraphs. Hogg and everybody else was asked to sign a neutrality pledge by the DNC. In other words, you will not interfere with primaries if you're on the DNC. And Hogg refused to sign it. Said no, after he gets elected, even though he knew that was a qualifier, he said, no, I'm not going to go and do that. And then Hogg goes on Bill Maher, Real Time at Bill Maher and HBO, and goes after people like Jim Clyburn. And the author here feels that that is a race. It was a racial remark directed at Clyburn. That's the author's feeling on this. And then I want to move ahead in this article. And again, this is from Michael Harriet in his article. It says, quote, so when the Democratic Party voided the election that gave Hogg a leadership position, mainstream journalism outfits claim that the Democratic Party ousted Hogg because he posed a threat to the party establishment. Even worse, Hogg helped push this baseless narrative. And he goes on to talk about Hogg being on a lot of TV shows and radio and talking about this. And the author points out some of the black hosts of political commentators got behind this as well. Then it goes on to say that Hogg's statement that, you know, he feels that he's being unfairly targeted because he's challenging the party establishment. And the author, Michael Harriet, says that's a lie. He says it's clear to get a clear understanding of what happened. I spoke with Democratic Party officials on and off the record. I also obtained a transcript of the vote and the official DNC credentials challenge that sparked the redo. What emerged was the age-old tale of media bias, hubris, and why so many white people think DEI is a personal attack on, quote-unquote, mediocrity. The author writes, so why was Hogg's election voided? Well, the first thing you should know is that it was not, quote-unquote, Hogg's election. Although a statement would lead you to assume that the entire Democratic Party decided that they had to do something about this brave, rebellious white boy, his words, not mine, the DNC decided not to, quote, remove Hogg from his position, unquote. The party simply chose to redo the election for the two DNC vice chairs. And then he goes further into, and I'm not going to, it's kind of boring actually, but the bylaws of the DNC. And they, and look, they're a private organization. They could do this, right? They have a certain, in their bylaws, it says that you have to have a male person, a female person, and then there has to be equity or equality as well to fill these positions. So he summarizes here. What does it all mean? Basically, if there are two open positions and one is filled by a man and the other position then needs to be filled by an equally qualified woman and vice versa. In this case, there were three open vice chairperson positions with six candidates. Aside from Hogg, Kenyatta, and Blanco, the other candidates were Shasti Conrad, an Indian American woman from Washington State who is the Democratic's youngest chairperson, Kaylin Free, a Native American woman from Oklahoma, and Jenna Repes, a black woman from Kansas. In the first round of voting, Blanco, a woman, won. So, according to the rules, there should have been two more rounds of votes. The first, Hogg versus Kenyatta, two men. And the third, the three women, plus the loser of Hogg versus Kenyatta. Instead, the chairperson held one vote, and the top two vote-getters were elected vice chair. Had the election been conducted by the rules, it is possible that one of the women candidates could have been elected. But in this case, they were essentially disenfranchised. Former chairman of the DNC, Jamie Harrison, says, quote, there was an unfortunate procedural error. I think the party determined this was the fairest and most democratic way to remedy the situation, unquote. So I just found this very interesting. I wanted to come back to it because some people said I was being hard on Hogg and, you know, just didn't like the fact that he was young and challenging the establishment. I don't know. Call in because I'd be interested in other people's opinion on this. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. To me, as someone who's not involved in the Democratic Party but has been involved in party politics, I've been a part of people who ran for inter-party leadership positions. I've helped in those campaigns. Before you go into it, you must know the rules. And it seems preposterous to me that the DNC leadership, let alone the people running for these positions, didn't know the rules in how the election was going to run. And if those rules weren't followed at the time, they wouldn't have raised holy hallelujah at the meeting where this election took place. So to me, this says either A, the DNC is so incompetent that they can't oversee and run their own elections, or B, they're using that as an excuse to truly get rid of Hogg because he's causing problems. Neither one to me is a good look, and it takes a lot of time away from fighting Trump and Trumpism and improving Democrats' chances of winning elections in 2026 and 2028.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, you know when the That's the election for the chair, not the vice chair.
Oh.
I looked at the wrong one. But this election didn't happen a week ago.
Right.
Like, why wait so long to say something? Like you said, it means they're either incompetent or doing something shifty. To wait this long to say something?
I don't get it. And I'm not a Democrat. I don't understand why the National Party took a pass on Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler, who has done remarkable work here, and I think would have been a great leader for the DNC. But instead, they elected this guy, Martin. I call him my least favorite Martin, from Minnesota. And by the way, where is he on this? Why doesn't the chairman of the DNC come out and say, look, you know what? If we're going to hold Donald Trump to the rule of law, the least we could do is follow our own internal bylaws. We made a mistake, and we're going to remedy it. Or you could say, look, an honest mistake was made. We're going to pass an addendum to our bylaws and allow another vice chair for this one term. But instead, there's nothing. There's nothing from Martin, the head of the DNC. And I don't think it's a good look for the Democratic Party. Back with more after this is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on a busy Thursday, May 15th. Summer's on the board. Quick weather update for you. A severe thunderstorm warning now in effect for our listeners. Could be in the listening area of our station at Amory, so be aware of that. This line of storms we've been watching here all afternoon kind of goes north of the Twin Cities, and then it extends just to the west of La Crosse. And those are kind of the strongest storms right now. There have been some severe thunderstorm warnings and a couple of tornado warnings in Minnesota already this afternoon. And so now this line is moving across the Mississippi River, going north-northeast. And so, again, the severe thunderstorm warning is just to the south of Amory right now. Near the New Richmond is included in this right now, and it is all moving again to the north-northeast. Amory will be impacted, Menominee eventually be impacted, and parts of the city of Eau Claire. So, again, no warnings for those specific municipalities, but now the county is just along in Wisconsin along the Mississippi River under a severe thunderstorm warning. So be aware of that. We'll update you as the afternoon progresses. Right now, talking about a little bit about the DNC and the controversy there with the election of the re-election of their vice chairs involving David Hogg and this great column. It was a Substack column. It was a long one, but I thought it was a great perspective by Michael Harriet, kind of from the inside of what's really going on here. Take your calls, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Jack in Merrimack. Jack, always a pleasure. What say you?
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I did not, unfortunately, read that article. However, I have to say I'm in agreement with a lot of David Hogg's position and ideas. We have far too many Democrats who are either strongly corporate Democrats, they're influenced by the big corporations, by the big donors, or they just fold. They fold because they say things like, oh, but it's the government will do a, it will stop because we don't vote for a continuing resolution. You know what, folks? You're paid to follow your constituents' wishes, and yeah, they might not wish the government would fold, but they sure don't wish the kind of things that are happening in the budget. And Hogg, wants to primary basically corporate Democrats, those right. that are not willing to take a progressive stance. And the only way we're going to be successful as a political party, as Democrats, is if, in fact, we do take a progressive stance. Now, I'm not saying don't compromise,
right,
but folding is not compromising.
But Jack, would you agree or disagree? I think this story has gone beyond David Hogg now, because now, I mean, I, this article by Michael Harriot, and who happens to be a black man, and he's saying that what you just said, that I don't know if Jim Clyburn would be considered a corporate Democrat or not. He's been around a long, long time. But to the black community, and particularly black Democrats, he's an icon. And they're like, why are you coming after our guy when he means a lot to us? The voters, I think it's North or South Carolina, wherever he's from. If that district keeps electing him, why do you, David Hogg, a 25-year-old white guy, want to come after one of our icons? And so to me, it's dividing the fractions in the Democratic Party, which is already fractioned. And also, I read this article. I understand the bylaws very well. If they can't even understand their own rules for elections, to me, that says larger problems about the Democratic Party writ large.
Well, I agree that there definitely should be some reforms within the party itself. But right now, again, I do not know the issue with Mr. Clyburn and the current situation.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not familiar with, but I do agree that we definitely, as a political party, have to take a look at those people who have been elected and take a chance and say, look, they're not doing what you people really want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to have somebody more progressive. That's
great. Appreciate it, Jack. Always appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. Mark in Pernsac. Mark, I'm up against the clock. If you can make it brief, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm getting back to the earlier issue. You talked about the Afghan people that Trump is canceling their protective status.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolute BS, because weren't they tearing Biden a new one because he didn't get enough of the Afghans that supported us out of Afghanistan?
Yep.
And now what is Trump going to do, send them back there, or send them to a prison in Libya, for God's sake?
Right.
I mean, I can't, you know, it is just beyond me that they're allowing Trump, the media is allowing Trump to get away with this rather than just condemning it outright. That because we've heard from some of our conservative callers that how badly Biden blew it in Afghanistan, didn't get enough of our Afghan allies out of there. Well, the Afghan allies should have been departing Afghanistan as soon as that agreement was signed with the Taliban, which left out the Afghan government, that Trump and Pompeo worked out with them, surrendering Afghanistan to the Taliban, freeing 5,000 terrorists in the midst of that thing. And those people deserve to be here. I mean, they were our allies in Afghanistan.
They're heroes.
They should be on their way to becoming American citizens, for God's sake.
Yeah, I they're American heroes, and I think it's disingenuous at best, evil at worst, for the Trump administration to renege on the promise. This wasn't a promise by Biden or Obama or Trump or anybody else. This was a promise by the United States of America that we would stand by these folks, these Afghan interpreters, and their families, that they would be safe if they helped us. And it's unclear in the story. I mean, it just says that their status is being pulled based on protocol so far. I'm assuming they get deported. Where to? I don't know. Next hour, though, I know this. We're going to have What's Worse for You and pizza docking of judges. It's a real thing. We'll talk about it after this. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.